Ramsey TV.
Martin Zender here, believing the same things since 1986 and teaching the same things since 1993. Stable as the Rock of Gibraltar, founded upon the Word of God. Does this shirt go okay with this jacket? It's good? Okay, great. I got verses, people. I got verses. Welcome to MZTV. Today, a spectacular truth that, of course, I've taught on before, but it's so important because it will really ground us in God's operations, and it will assure us that what appear to be random events in life, it's really God trapping the people who think they're wise. Because don't worry, nothing's random. Nothing. But see, God just makes it look that way. He gives you the inside information that it's not random. Everything has been planned beforehand, designated beforehand. God tells the end from the beginning, but God says, I'm going to trick the so-called wise in their own wisdom. Not only am I going to use the foolish things of the world, but get this, people, I'm going to make everything seem like random chaos. I'm going to make events look like there's really no reason for them. That'll be interesting, won't it? It's going to trick a lot of people into thinking that life is just one big crapshoot. But I'm going to give you, my friends, the secret that everything is happening according to plan. And I'm doing it this way so that the people who think they're wise in their own estimation will trip over the apparent randomness and chaos of life and thinking themselves to be wise in their own estimation, they will write me off because surely no God worthy of the name would let things go like they're going. No God worthy of the name would do foolish things like have a man build an ark in the middle of the desert or have a man's donkey talk to him when the donkey perceives an angel in the middle of the road, or create the entire human race out of two people, the man named Adam and the woman named Eve. So many people are going to think that's so stupid and so unscientific and so ridiculous. But I'm just laying a trap for them, God says. I'm trapping them in their own wisdom. They think they're smarter than me. If I were God, I wouldn't do anything like that. If I were God, I'd create things through a complex system called evolution. If I were God, I wouldn't kill all the inhabitants of the world except for 8. No, I would not kill anyone. I would just let everyone live forever. Writing Hallmark cards, singing happy songs like I'd like to teach the world to sing. Kumbaya. Waterloo by ABBA. Yeah, I would have them. I would have them all being happy all the time. But you see, God is smarter than that. It's all a trap. Okay, so 1 Corinthians, and the reason this is going to help you, I mean, if it's not obvious, is sometimes our faith is shaken by the apparent randomness of life. Why do things have to be so stupid? Why do things have to go so badly? Why can't God just make anything happen the right way without a glitch? Why does there have to be a fly in every bowl of soup? Why? Why does every relationship have to have a bug in it? There I go with the flies again. Let's think of another metaphor. Why does every relationship or friendship have to have some points of contention? In a nutshell, I guess the question would be, why can't things just go smoothly? You know, things do go smoothly once in a while because God realizes that we are weak human beings. He made us that way. And things have to work out on occasion just so we don't kill ourselves. So God makes enough things go as planned. Enough things just so, as I said, you don't kill yourself. But he also throws in apparent randomness, apparent chaos, in order to, again, cause the worldly wise to trip and to say, there is no God. Because if I was God, oh yeah, what would you do if you were God? And it's if I were God, by the way, not if I was God. Okay, sorry. If I were God, why? There would actually be at least one marriage on earth that worked perfectly. No planes would ever explode. No submarines would ever implode. No bread would ever overstay its tenure in the toaster. No egg would ever fall on the floor and splatter. No fly. Back to the flies again. No fly would ever torment the human race. Refuse to be killed. How is it that the flies are buzzing around your face, and then as soon as you pick up a weapon of destruction, whether it's a fly swatter or the amateur version, the rolled up magazine, the fly knows and it goes away. And then when you do rear back and strike it, it quickly leaves the place it was and you destroy a Hummel or a precious moment or some other valuable. I think it is a plan of flies to destroy the world. I think that within that tiny cavity in the little fly skull, there's a devious mind. But even this is under the control of God, and it is part of the greater plan to cause the world to trip and to rely on its own wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, for the stupidity of God, I love this, I'll never get over this, I talk about this a lot. The stupidity of God is wiser than humans, and the weakness of God is stronger than humans. How do we know that? Because God has shown us nothing but his stupidity and nothing but his so-called weakness. He's doing it on purpose. Again, this is such a large cause of people writing off God, not believing in God at all, because of these silly stories in the scriptures. But again, God is doing this on purpose. And then there's us. We members of the body of Christ. I will say to you what Paul said to the Corinthians in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For you observing your calling, brethren and sistren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many powerful, not many noble, but the stupidity of the world God chooses. And here we go. Verse 28, and the ignoble, the contemptible things of the world God chooses. And that which is not, that is, that which has no reputation, that which is disregarded by the mainstream of humanity, and that's us. God chooses these things that he should be discarding that which is, so that no flesh at all should be boasting in God's sight. Yet you, verse 30, of him are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, besides righteousness and holiness and deliverance, that according as it is written, he who is boasting in the Lord, let him be boasting. And the Lord is our boast. We're not boasting in the flesh. We can't. Look at our flesh. We can't boast in human wisdom because look at us. Consider us. And yet God, again, whispers to us of all people the inside secrets of his universe. And every once in a while, God lets a worldly person see the underlying order. Because what appears to be random chaos on the surface is only the outward appearance. Beneath it is a plan. We know that plan because of Scripture. God tells us over and over again, especially in Paul's letters where Paul goes to the absolute viewpoint. He says that all is of God. All is out of him, through him, and for him. All has its cohesion in Christ. Colossians chapter 1. So we know this. And we also know that God makes vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Romans chapter 9. It's a great advantage to be able to believe the Scripture. Because we don't see those answers on the surface. We see a vessel of dishonor and we think, ah, that person's just stubborn. They must have had rotten parents. Maybe their parents never took them to Disneyland as a kid. I think taking your kids to Disneyland is abuse myself, but that's just me. All these might be surface reasons why things happen, but there is a substratum. There is the ultimate purpose, and that is God. But every once in a while, a person of the world will look deeper into existence and they'll see something shocking. This is why many scientists, many physicists who were atheists before they became scientists and physicists, when they look into the structure of God's creation, they realize, holy shit, there's order here. They looked into the cell and they found a world of order. They looked into the atom, the building block of everything. They found order. And it shocked the hell out of them. And they came away dumbfounded, knowing that there is an intelligence behind creation. And then they get up in a fit of excitement from their desk and they spill their coffee. Here we go again. They go to their favorite diner, order their favorite soup, and there's a fly in the soup. Here comes the fly again. And there we go again. What the hell? Ba-ba-boom. Air conditioning breaks on the hottest day of the year. Argument with the wife. Argument with the kid. The dog poops on the floor. But they go back to the laboratory. Or if you will, the laboratory. They look into that microscope, the electron microscope, and they see the order of the universe. And they're back to square one. There is an intelligence behind this. And that's my exhortation to you here today. We don't need to look into a microscope or even a telescope to see that there is no end to the human sight of the outwardness of the universe, and there's no end to the inwardness of it. No matter how powerful of a scope people look into the microscopic world, they can't get to the end of it. They thought the cell was the smallest particle. Then they found the atom. Then they found that the atom was made of parts. And there's no end to it. There's no end to it inward. There's no end to it outward. But we don't even need that, because we have the Word of God that assures us that not only is there an intelligence behind everything, but the intelligence is a goodness. And the intelligence is a God of love. And the intelligence, capital I, wants to share his glory with other beings. And that's intelligence that created the atom and the cell and even the fly. has called us into his confidence and given us the secrets of the universe. Us, the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid? Yes. Because the foolishness of God will confound the wise, and the weakness of God will always confound the strong. We are the strong because we are founded on Christ.